I remember once in high school, we had a mock election that coincided with a very real presidential election. We spent weeks in our social studies classes learning the issues of the candidates as the school tried to prepare us for what it would be like to vote when we came of age. As our mock election day neared, a grassroots movement began to write in Tony Danza as an ironic candidate. He won in a landslide victory, and the school, furious with the students, canceled our winter formal. We didn't take the mock election seriously, but we still learned that most valuable lesson about voting: you are stuck with the consequences of your actions. In tonight's story, we travel 5 years forward, into a future where the West Coast has voted to secede from the United States, bringing with it political and socioeconomic turmoil that comes to a head when certain prominent residents of this new disputed territory start to go missing and become the subjects of controversial experiments. Let's get to it. Turn off the television set, flick off the lights, grab a friend or someone who won't mind being kidnapped for a bit, and curl up on your favorite carpet with the radio turned on as Distilled Theater Company presents The Separation, a DTC radio story by Corey Paca.
Pyongyang and the Kremlin have declined to provide any official position at this time. Moving on to news from the disputed territory, a post-separation panic. A rash of disappearances have been reported in recent weeks among the population in the area formerly known as the Western United States. Various well-known individuals in the local community have, for want of a better explanation, simply up and vanished. Here with a closer look tonight is our own Nancy Barthelmes.
Here in the disputed territory, in the city formerly known as Sacramento, there's been an air of chaos and uncertainty ever since Zero Day. That's the term people have been using to refer to the moment the electorate of Washington State, Oregon, and California voted overwhelmingly in favor of secession from the U.S. It was the culmination of a movement known as the Separation. That uncertainty has only grown in the aftermath of a string of recent disappearances. They all want to know where their friends and neighbors have gone. We attended a public demonstration of people demanding answers. Though very few locals were willing to speak with us on the record, many voiced their frustration with the decided lack of direction or prominent government oversight. One business owner said,
"No one's running the show here. It's the blind leading the blind."
Others have expressed dissatisfaction with the seemingly progressive roots of the separation campaign failing in practice. The demonstration we attended was broken up when the city's makeshift police force fired tear gas into the assembly. Attendees at the rally have reported an increase in the appearance of these black-clad law enforcement agents. They have no official name as of yet, but locals have come to refer to them as the secret police. Accordingly, their origin and their allegiance remains a mystery. Some who spoke out against the motion to secede are now noting today's events with an air of prescience. One such person is former Sacramento City Council member Artemis Laus.
The missing persons in question fit a particular pattern. A lot of them deal in media, others are teachers, community organizers, journalists. I don't think you have to dig too deeply to get at the underlying motive here. They're getting rid of people that pose a threat in one form or another. This secret police force, as they're called, they're just another symptom of that.
Who do you think are the ones influencing all of this?
Foreign operatives. Government agents who stand to gain by driving us apart. It's really that simple, even if the process behind it is anything but.
How so?
Well, look at what happened before the vote. We had bots making supportive comments on viral videos that promoted the separation campaign. There were fake social media accounts spreading false stories and misinformation in the months leading up to the election. We knew all this. It should have been blatantly obvious to anyone who stopped to read between the lines. The only entity capable of spearheading that, financing it, and implementing it on a mass scale is a foreign government with malicious intent.
You sound a bit exasperated.
I am. And I'm sorry, but there are times when I can't believe we're here. I can't believe this is happening.
The separation resolution still has support among roughly 60% of the electorate in the disputed territory. What do you say to people who want to call everything you're saying sour grapes? There are plenty of people who think you're only angry because you lost.
First, I dispute those figures. Who exactly is controlling the numbers? Second, I say to those people, if they're even real, come and see how things are here with your own eyes. Ask around and see how we're doing. Do it fast before more people vanish. We voted democracy out of power in this region. It wasn't stolen from us, we killed it. Coming back from this is going to take a generation, if it can even be done at all. I would tell you to call your local member of the new parliament, but who even knows who that person is? I know I don't.
The new parliament, established this week, is the first official governing body to debut in the aftermath of the separation. Much like the secret police, their origin and affiliation remains a mystery. Tensions rose even further at a demonstration by separatist critics in the former city of Portland, Oregon. A rally outside City Hall was met by counter-protesters. Conditions resembling those of a riot were reported until the area's division of the secret police arrived. Regardless of which side claims a moral victory, one thing is certain. The situation here is escalating quickly. As more disappearances are reported, the new parliament will have to move quickly to explain things to a frightened populace, if they choose to do so at all. I'm Nancy Barthelmes, reporting from the disputed territory.
Help! Someone help! Help! Help me, please!
Mr. Group, do you hear me? Where were you just now?
Who are you?
Answer my question first, please. Where were you?
In water. A dark pool of water, no light, no bottom, no edges. I couldn't get out.
And you can't swim.
How did you know?
Is that what made you see?
What?
This app we're developing reads the wearer's thoughts. It taps into their subconscious fears. For you, it's water. More specifically, your fear of drowning. At least that's one thing you fear.
Who are you?
I'm someone who represents a particular interest group. We've watched your activities, Mr. Brook, with intrigue.
What activities?
Surely you can guess. You're an artist.
Really? I do logos for startups, screen printing for kids' soccer jerseys.
You're a man of many talents.
Do you have a name?
Names are ornamental. I'm more interested in the content of a person's character rather than the labels we place onto them. Those come later. I like to work from the inside out. Tell me a bit about yourself.
Is this some kind of joke?
No, not in the slightest.
What do you want to know?
I think you already have some idea. Your work wasn't limited to soccer jerseys, was it?
Not if you count the t-shirts. Maybe the album cover for that Japanese hip-hop group out of UC Berkeley. I don't know what you want to hear.
You do. You just haven't decided to cooperate yet.
What are you doing? Hey, what are you going to do? Don't press that!
Answer my questions, Mr. Baru.
You haven't asked me anything. I don't... Stop! Stop it, please!
Answer my question.
What question?
Tell me a bit about yourself. Who are you?
I'm Jeremy Baruch. I live in San Francisco, California, the disputed territory.
What do you do?
I'm a graphic designer and a community organizer.
Local politics?
Yes.
Good. Tell me more.
Moving now to news regarding disappearances in the disputed territory. Former residents of the West Coast who fled the area after the separation measure passed are now camped out in makeshift towns along the border in Idaho, Nevada, and Arizona. They're looking in from the outside and wondering, just what do they do now? Reporting to us again tonight from the deserts of Nevada is Nancy Barthelmes.
Here in the outskirts of Reno, Nevada, this once barren desert area has now become a bustling community. Campers, RVs, converted vans, and tents constitute a makeshift city. Refugees and asylum seekers who fled the disputed territory after the separation are here and trying to connect with the ones they left behind. One such local resident trying to piece her life together is Jessica Baruch. Her estranged husband, Jeremy, a graphic artist and designer, was one of the community members to have been reported missing in what was formerly San Francisco, the city she was forced to leave behind. Tell me about your relationship with Jeremy.
Jeremy and I were arguing a lot in the months leading up to the vote. He didn't like what was going on in Washington, and neither did I. They won in 2016 and then again in 2020. We knew something was deeply wrong. But the way I saw things, we had to fight it, not run from it. Running away wouldn't fix anything. And yet, here I am now. I know it might sound hypocritical, but it's all I could do. After Zero Day, I didn't think there was anything left to save.
When did you decide to leave?
I waited about a month or so after the vote went down. That's when things really started to get bad. When they imposed a mandatory curfew, the secret police showed up and I couldn't withdraw my money from an ATM. I knew I had to get out. I knew that wasn't a place I could raise our kids. It was just too dangerous. Now he's missing.
Jessica and her two children, Erica and Matthew, have been living in this makeshift city since fleeing the West Coast. They snuck past the border in the dead of night before guards were set up on a 24-hour basis. Jeremy Baruch was reported missing roughly 6 weeks ago during the rash of disappearances in the former San Francisco area, just days after Jessica's departure. They've been trying and failing to find leads on his whereabouts. Despite this, Jessica states that there's still a feeling of unresolved tension between them.
Our separation was caused by the separation. By separating ourselves from the whole of the United States, we were cutting ourselves off at the knees. We were giving leverage to the people running things in Washington and basically empowering them. When there are fewer of us around to fight back, there are fewer reasons for them to care about what people actually want. This wasn't a situation that benefited anyone.
It sounds as if you followed this issue very closely. How did he react when you told him this was how you felt?
He didn't feel that way. He said he was sorry. That was the way I saw it.
Where do you think he might be now?
Your guess is as good as mine. When we got married, we took a vow to stand by each other, come what may, for better or for worse. But he didn't hold up his end of the deal. As much as I love him, I couldn't stand by him anymore. He walked away from us a long time before that, in a sense, anyway. Then we left. Then he vanished. As angry as I am at him, I want to help him too. We all want to help the people who are stuck there or lost. We may not like what they stood for, but we can't just leave them behind. We can't forget about them.
Mrs. Baruch's sentiments were echoed by many other locals. Requests for comment from the newly established Independent Council on Disappearances in the disputed territory have not been returned. Like everyone else camped out here, one can only wonder what is going on beyond the borders. I'm Nancy Barthelmez, reporting from the deserts of Reno, Nevada.
Let me out, please. Let me out.
What was it this time?
A room, a cell. It was smaller than a phone booth, half as long. I couldn't move. I couldn't bend down. I couldn't stand up. I could hardly breathe.
So you're also claustrophobic?
How long was I in there?
About 10 to 15 seconds.
It felt like 10 hours.
Mr. Baruch, quid pro quo. You were a separatist, weren't you? You didn't just print up posters, you went to the meetings. You went to the rallies. You were there on the front lines at every demonstration at City Hall in San Francisco. We have photographic evidence. Here. I suppose where I'm unclear on all of this is the why of it all. You weren't politically active at all before the separation campaign. What motivated you to get involved?
There were other elections before that one. All around the world, I saw horrible people come into power. I thought, I don't want any part of this. I don't want to raise my kids in a country that would elect someone like that as our president. Then they elected him again. I was so frustrated by what the country was becoming. I had the crazy idea to just leave it all behind. It turns out I knew a lot of other people who felt that way too.
And you found more online, didn't you? It seems like a pretty radical departure. A screen printer suddenly coming to the forefront of a coastal secession movement.
I was the one making the signs and the t-shirts.
At first. As time passed, you became the right-hand man to the regional director. Assistant Director of Communications. That was your title. During the last few months, you even closed down the studio you ran to outside business. You devoted your facility to the movement on a full-time basis. What prompted the shift in lifestyle?
I didn't think of it as a lifestyle. It wasn't even much of a shift. It started off as a side interest. And then the next thing I knew, I was looking at the polls and it was a 50-50 toss-up. It seemed like it might actually happen.
You sound a little disappointed. Why so solemn?
Are you serious? Look where I am! We were wrong! I was wrong!
Some might say you stood up for what you believed in. You believed in this, didn't you?
Do you think this is what we wanted?
What changed?
I did. My wife didn't like the idea of breaking away from the U.S. We fought about it. Then a little while after Zero Day, she left. That was right when the secret police showed up. Then they declared a state of martial law. They suspended city council. They ousted the mayor, the governor. They said it was all temporary, but it's been 6 months. I haven't heard a word from her since then.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Stop! Don't!
It's all right. Look. How's that?
That's better.
The vibration is fixed to specific points in your brain. It targets pleasure centers, which is what you're feeling now.
Oh, you... You still haven't told me what you want.
All in due time.
A disputed territory is disputed no longer. The sovereign nation of New Arcadia has been established along the former west coast of the United States, unifying what was once Washington State, Oregon, and California for the first time since Zero Day. In a tape statement, Chancellor Roger Hume, the new Arcadian head of state, said that he hoped this historic moment would be an important first step in an alliance between their new nation and the world at large. In related news, this announcement was made shortly after the body of former Sacramento City Council member Artemis Laus was found buried in the deserts of Arizona by refugee construction workers. Forensic evidence showed no signs of trauma, and the new Arcadian government declined comment. More on this when we return.
Who's there?
Jeremy.
Jessica?
Oh my God, Jeremy, what's going on?
What are you doing here? Where have you been?
I was hiding out in Nevada with the kids.
Where are they? Are they okay?
I don't know. I was walking to a supply outpost, then these guys in uniforms came up on me. They threw me in the back of a van. I blacked out. I woke up in a room somewhere and the door was standing open.
I can't believe it's really you. I thought I'd never see you again.
Let's find a way out of here. Can you walk?
They have me strapped to this chair. I don't know if...
You're untied.
Where is she?
Who? Forget it. Let's just go while we still can.
Mr. Baruch, I can only assume this is the woman you've told us so much about. Jessica, is that correct?
Why did you bring her here?
You've been in this room for a while now, Mr. Baruch. You probably aren't aware of the developments outside.
What developments? Who do you work for?
One of the groups that bankrolled the separation. There actually was a grand design to it all. We weren't just interested in sowing seeds of chaos, but that certainly didn't hurt our cause.
Jeremy, who is she?
She won't tell me what her name is.
I told you before, names are ornamental. I'm more interested in image. Brand. Specifically, I'd like to know just what you can do for us as we expand our operations.
What do you mean, expand?
I mean the west coast of the U.S. is just the beginning. We're setting our sights on NATO and what's left of the European Union next.
I don't understand. What's going on here?
Mrs. Baruch, your husband is an artist. The separation campaign was driven by online content. Viral videos, doctored images, selective perspective. You were lured in by social media yourself, weren't you, Mr. Baruch? Who do you think comes up with all of that?
You mean... Do you want me to work for you? You want me to spearhead this by making fake content?
That's an oversimplification, but you're close enough.
Don't you have your own people to do this kind of thing?
Our people need guidance. We need someone with your experience, your proven track record of success. You helped us once before, Mr. Baruch, probably without even knowing it. We want you to do it again. I assure you, we will make it worth your while.
No! The last time I did this, it cost me the most important thing I had. It cost me the only thing that mattered. Never again. I'm not going to make the same mistake twice.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Jeremy!
Jessica? Jessica! No! No! I'm sorry! Oh God, I'm sorry! Oh, Jessica!
Mr. Baruch, what did it make you see? I think we found the thing you fear the most. The thing you may have already lost. Do you understand what we're capable of?
Yes.
Do you know what we're willing to do?
Yes.
Do you know what will happen if you refuse to comply with our demands? Do you also acknowledge that your children are expendable too?
Yes.
Are you ready to do what we ask of you? Are you ready to join us?
Yes.
Today, an historic moment in Washington, D.C. 1 year after Zero Day and the polarizing separation movement that quite literally divided a nation, Chancellor Roger Hume of New Arcadia makes his first official state visit to the U.S. Capitol. Several thousand protesters lined the streets of Pennsylvania Avenue as the chancellor made his way to the White House. Demonstrators carried signs and shouted at the federal motorcade, demanding to know where the unaccounted citizens of New Arcadia, who disappeared nearly 1 year ago, have gone. The New Arcadian Ministry of Information has denied any role in the disappearances, but local community leaders, and even some members of Congress, have raised their doubts. Still, in spite of the tensions, sitting members of Congress were cordial as the chancellor and his wife, Isabella, addressed the assembly. Mrs. Hume was especially impressive in her introductory remarks.
It is our hope that as New Arcadia, the world's youngest nation, continues to grow, that we can work together with the U.S. in a spirit of common interests, unity, and friendship. Let us not forget that the United States is also a nation founded on the ideals of liberty and freedom from persecution and tyranny. While our ideas regarding the things that constitute that may differ, we hope that we can be united as one against all threats. To that end, we support your president in his recent remarks and positions regarding the obsolescence of the EU, NATO, and other entities that are taking advantage of American generosity. We hope that our chancellor and your president can build upon the productive talks of this morning. We are excited to continue to move upwards and onwards as one.
Though Chancellor Hume may have opened the door to discussions with the United States, it may well be the new Arcadian First Lady who keeps it open.
Not a bad speech for a first attempt.
It isn't exactly my forte.
I know, but you're a man of many talents. I knew you were good for more than just social media.
I cobbled enough bits and pieces from other speeches to come up with a working idea of what would sound good.
It had the desired effect.
I'm glad you're happy.
Are you happy, Mr. Baruch?
I want to know if my family is okay.
They are. I give you my word.
How do I know you're telling the truth?
Mr. Baruch, Jeremy, I assure you, you are the one person I would never lie to. You made me. You helped make us. What am I without you?
Lonely. Very, very lonely.
We are excited to continue to move upwards and onwards as one.
The Separation was recorded in its entirety on November 17, 2018 in New York City, featuring Samantha Cooper, Marlo Holden, Megan Lanapp, John Noel, Christina Pitter, and Kia Sayati. It was written by Corey Peka and directed by Robert A.K. Gagno. Sound engineering by Liz Regan. Sound design and editing by Robert A.K. Gagno. Play development by Lauren Malici. Artwork by Emanuela Brumana. The DTC Radio theme is by Spencer Robelin. The Separation was a DTC Radio production. My name is Pip Gengenbach, and thank you for joining me on this adventure. You can like Distilled Theater Company on Facebook, and for behind-the-scenes photos, follow us on Instagram at Distilled Theater. Until next time, good night, Laura Dern, wherever you are.